Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Richard Widmark. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Les Brown and boys. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a lot of excitement out here on the coast this week. The whole California Chamber of Commerce has been standing on top of Mount Wilson looking up at the sky and saying, "Do anything else you want, Lord, but don't let it rain on Palm Springs." Palm Springs, that's the water hole that's made who's who. But it's a great place for a vacation because it has a wonderful even temperature. 80 above in the daytime, 80 below at night. It's really wonderful. And, of course, all the women have to trot out their finest furs, even though it's a resort. My wife, Dolores, went by and a gopher popped out of his hole, put his hand over his heart and said, "So that's what happened to Cousin Elmo, huh?" And the town is so crowded down there in Palm Springs, it's a bonanza for hotel owners. I won't say they've jacked up the prices, but at the Desert Inn, one fella got a bill for $50, and he wasn't even staying there. He complained, and they charged me $35 for loitering. But anyway, I want to tell you, during the night, they heard a coyote howling, but it wasn't a coyote at all. Jack Benny lives next door, and he was making out his income tax. Jack's very good at making out income tax, you know. When he saw the rate he'd have to pay, he was beside himself with rage, so he put himself down as two dependents.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to a scene that took place earlier this week in the office of Dr. Joseph Kearns in North Hollywood.
Well, you can get dressed now, Bob. Put your shirt back on.
Well, how am I, Doc? Everything normal?
Your heart, respiration, and metabolism are okay, Bob, but you have a touch of hyperpiasis, constriction of the peripheral vascular bed. To put it simply, Bob, you're nervous.
Nervous? Well, why didn't you say that in the first place?
Well, if I did, I couldn't charge you $50 for this visit. Have you been working especially hard lately, Bob?
Yes, Doc. I've been helping Pete Martin write my life story. You see, everywhere I went, I brought a secretary along and dictated to her constantly. That went on for 3 months.
Mm, I'll bet you were glad when you finished.
Yeah, it sure took a load off my knees. Well, anyway, read the... read the articles if you get a chance, Doc. I tell everything I've ever done.
Everything?
Oh, sure. I've got nothing to hide.
Now, Bob, I've been a friend of yours for years.
I tell you, I've got nothing to hide. My life is as pure as the driven snow.
Crestview 91812.
Short winter, wasn't it? No, I forgot I once bet on the horses with a bookie. Pretty funny, eh, Doc?
Seriously, Bob, is there anything in your life story that you omitted? Is there some ugly episode in your life you're trying to cover up?
Well, back in Cleveland, I went steady with a few ugly episodes, but I never tried to cover any of them up. Look, Doc. Honest, Doc, I'm not nervous.
Sit down in this chair, Bob. I'll just draw the blinds and switch on this light. Now, Bob, tell me about it.
You mean... the kid that was always beating me up?
Well, someone was beating you?
Yeah, he lived near me in Cleveland. Whenever I left the house, he socked me and beat me and punched me.
Well, how come this boy was so much stronger than you?
I don't know. I guess he drank more milk than I did.
This was in your childhood?
Yeah. When I first met Muggs Widmark, I was just a kid. I was walking along the street, and I...
Hey, you. Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Where you going, punk?
Oh, I am going to school to study real hard and prepare myself to be a useful citizen and a credit to my parents and my country.
Oh. I feel like I just stepped on something squishy.
Don't you go to school?
Yeah. I got kicked out just because I made one teeny-weeny little mistake. The teacher told me to rub out the writing on the blackboard.
Yeah, well, what was the mistake you made?
I rubbed out the teacher.
You rubbed out the teacher?
Yeah. You got any objections?
Oh, no, no, I guess it was all right. She raised her hand to leave the room.
You know, I think I'll give you a dose of the same medicine.
Me?
Yeah. I'm going to beat you up, and I'm going to push your face in and bash you to a pulp. Just to make friends, you understand.
Couldn't you just be an acquaintance and kick in three or four of my ribs?
Here it comes, punk.
He was the toughest kid I'd ever seen. And as he came toward me, a feeling of fear shot through me. My knees turned to water.
What's the matter, punk? You look scared.
Ooh, me? What makes you think I'm scared?
Your Adam's apple.
What about it?
It keeps jiggling your hat.
Well, why are you picking on me like this?
Because I hate you. I hate everybody. I'll show you.
Hey, you hit your own self on the jaw.
I said I hate everybody. No exceptions.
Oh, Robert. Robert.
Oh, hello, Margaret.
Who's the broad?
Well, what's a broad?
Who's the chick?
Chick?
The skirt, the skirt.
Oh, the skirt. That belongs to Margaret. That's her, isn't it?
Robert, let's go in the drugstore and have some ice cream.
Okay.
Not so fast, punk. We ain't had a fight yet.
In front of my girlfriend. I had to fight, so I did. There. That's settled. Now, let's go in the drugstore.
What do you have, kids?
Well, I'll have a dish of ice cream.
Yeah, I'll have a dish of ice cream, too.
How about you, bud?
I'll have a roll of bandage and a bottle of iodine.
Say, that youngster was a tough little mug, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked just like Richard Widmark. You should have seen him in school, Doc. All day long, he'd just sit there taking swigs out of his thermos bottle.
Taking swigs? What did he have in his thermos bottle?
I don't know, but every once in a while, he'd get up, kick over the desk, and holler, "All the arithmetic problems are on me."
Well, tell me, did you associate with this boy very much, Bob?
Well, I didn't want to, but every day he used to catch me on the way home. Boy, he beat me up so often I didn't have to brush my teeth like other kids. I just turned the water on and shook him around in the cigar box. Finally, school days were over, and I got a job in my brother Fred's meat market in Cleveland. There you are, Mrs. McGillicuddy. 1 pound of ground round, 24 cents. Thank you. Who's next?
Hiya, punk.
It was him.
Open the cash register.
It belongs to my brother. It's my duty to guard it.
Now, look, you don't understand, punk. I'm selling you protection. Now, move aside. Now, clean out the till.
Over my dead body.
Why not? That's one of our sales methods. Going to open that thing or not?
It was my chance to be a hero. I stood there deciding whether to fight him off like a tiger or give him the money from the cash register like a worm, a low crawling worm. Here's Margaret Whiting doing a song from Sadie Thompson, the Blue Pacific Blues. Come in, Maggie.
Getting the blue Pacific blues, the feeling you get from real bad news. alone in the dark and sultry night. You think of the times you ain't done right. To add to the fact you're feeling so bad, the cry of the birds keeps driving you mad. It's part of the blues. You lie awake and how you wish that it was morning. And then you smoke 100 cigarettes or more. That devil rain continues pounding on the window. And the tropic winds keeps howling at your door. Regardless of all the rain and mud, the feel of the place gets in your blood. But deep in the night, there comes unaware the terrible thought that nobody cares. You're back with the blues again. Even more specific, you got what they call the blue Pacific blues. That devil rain continues pounding on your window. And the tropic winds keeps howling at your door. Regardless of all the rain and mud, the feel of the place gets in your blood. But deep in the night, Pacific, you got what they call the blue Pacific blues. To be even more specific, you got what they call the blue Pacific blues.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, someone once said humor's the true democracy. The history of our Navy lists many great heroes, but perhaps the greatest of them all was Alfred Bullrod Stormalong. Where he was born doesn't really matter, but he was first heard of in Boston Harbor, where he signed on as a crew member of the Lady of the Sea. The captain of that good ship took one look at his new man, who stood 30 feet tall and had muscles in his arms like powder kegs, and said to the rest of the crew, "Here's an able-bodied seaman for you." Old Stormalong was a great sailor, and it wasn't many years before he captained his own ship, the Corsair, one of the biggest afloat. The masts were hinged so the sun and moon could go by, and when a hurricane appeared on the horizon, Stormalong had to give the order to man the topsails a week in advance, because it took his men that long to climb the rigging. Stormalong's skill as a sailing man was known throughout the seven seas, but his greatest feat was taking the Corsair through the English Channel. When he discovered the channel was less than 2 inches wider than his ship at high tide, old Stormalong bought all the soap in Holland and had his men grease the sides of the Corsair. Got through the channel without any damage, but so much of the soap rubbed off on the English coast that to this day the cliffs of Dover are white. Old Stormalong was a great sailor, all right, but more than that, he was the spirit of the greatest navy in the world. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of our industries, institutions, and legendary heroes with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, we will live together as a nation. Thank you very much.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to our story. Or rather, back to Bob's story.
There it is, Doctor, that laugh again.
Oh, now, Bob, relax. You know, this is a very common fear psychosis.
You mean other people have this?
Oh, yes. Some people are afraid of dogs, others of machinery. Why, one man was actually convinced his wife was going to kill him. But I analyzed the situation, and I arrived at a very simple solution.
What was it?
I canceled my life insurance. But go on with your story, Bob.
Well, Doctor, the years went by and the Depression came along. My brother Fred couldn't afford a clerk in his meat market and let me go. I hunted week after week, but there were no jobs. I was so poor, I painted a belt around my long underwear to make people think I was wearing pants. If anyone looked closely, I pretended I had a very large back pocket. I finally got a job flipping pancakes in a restaurant. But I didn't keep it very long. I was so hungry when I flipped the pancakes up in the air, none of them ever came down. Boss got so mad he blew his stack. Week after week, I searched for work. One day, I was standing in front of an employment agency reading the jobs offered. Wanted. Men to harvest crops in Imperial Valley. Wetbacks only. Bring your own towel. I was just going into the agency to inquire when all...
Hey, you. Punk.
He was sitting at the wheel of an expensive convertible. He wore flashy clothes of the latest cut. His fingers were loaded with diamond rings, and he was puffing a big cigar.
Come here, punk. Hold out your hand.
Okay.
There, that's for you.
I looked in my hand, and I could tell what a neat guy he was. He wouldn't flick his cigar ashes on the sidewalk.
Tell me, kid, when was the last time you had a square meal?
Not so long ago. Christmas. I had a big turkey dinner at the mission.
Christmas? But, kid, this is September now.
They gave me a sandwich to take with me. I guess you're doing all right, huh?
I got no complaints. Would you like to cut in?
Sure. You in a good business?
Well, this car cost me 5 G's. The suit, 2 C's. These shoes, a double sawbuck. How'd you like a fast 10 grand?
He kept talking, but he never once mentioned what I was interested in. Money.
Now, you're a half-smart punk. You want to grab some easy dough?
Doing what?
Stick-ups. Heist jobs. Hijacking. Well, what do you say?
Sure, I'll do anything as long as it's honest.
Hop in the car. Let's go over to my place and talk.
His place was an expensive apartment in the ritziest part of the city.
How do you like the joint?
Gosh, leopard skin furniture, leopard skin rugs. Why is everything covered with leopard skin?
My fountain pen leaks. Like you to meet McGoyle. Hey, Maggie, come in here.
Coming.
She came swaying into the room. The most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. What was a society girl doing here? I knew that when she spoke, something would happen.
Hello, kid. What's the matter? Don't you know me, Robert?
I looked at her again, then I recognized her. She was a little girl who used to wear gingham and pigtails, my childhood sweetheart. Crestview 91812.
Lay off, punk. She's my chick now.
Your chick?
Yeah. And I got a gun in my hand. You want me to shoot a practice bullet and show you how it works?
Where do you get that stuff? This is my girl. I carried her books to school since first grade. We've been going steady for 15 years. I worship the ground she walks on. You got the colossal nerve to tell me... That's what I said. She's your chick.
Well, come on in the bar and meet the boys.
Oh, sure.
Now, you see, all my boys are the clean-cut type. Wear expensive, conservative suits. Look like smart young businessmen. For instance, meet Joe here.
Hudja, 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 hudja.
it'll be a new partner, Joe.
New partner? Well, what happened to his old partner?
We lost him robbing a drugstore last week.
You lost him?
Yeah. Running out of the joint, he fell into a pinball machine and the electric buzzers buzzed him to death. In his last minutes on Earth, he ran up a score of 82,000 and won 6-3 games.
I hope his epitaph doesn't read tilted.
What we're ready to leave, boss, is the kid going with us?
Where?
On a little pleasure trip. Except you might have to donate some blood. The hard way.
Well, you mean we're going to Santa Anita?
It's a bank job, kid.
But won't the bank be closed when we get there? How will we get in?
Oh, we'll get in somehow, Rollo. When there's a will, there's a way.
Here you are, boys. Everybody take a pop gun.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Wait, these aren't pop guns. They look like machine guns. Real ones.
Yeah, say, they do look like machine guns. Sounds like them, too.
But what do we need machine guns for?
Well, in case we stop off at a shooting gallery along the way, you know, we will do anything to win a Cupid doll.
All right, boys, let's go. Yeah. Now a stick of dynamite. Boom. We walk in, we pick up the doll.
Fellas, I don't understand this whole thing. I wish you'd explain to me again why this bank won't let you make a withdrawal during the daytime.
We told you we forgot our bank book.
Well, look, are you trying to steal money from this place?
Steal money? Us?
Then why are you blowing the door off the vault?
We just want to check and see if it's all there.
I looked to Muggs for support, but there was a gleam of hate in his eyes. Look, I won't let you blow open this vault. I'm going to stand right in front of this door.
You move or I'll shoot you full of holes.
No! Doctor. Doctor.
Oh, now easy, Bob. Why, you just imagined the whole thing.
No, I'll show you the bullet holes. There. Why did Muggs hate me so much?
Remarkable. Look what the bullet holes spell out.
What?
Crestview 91812.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.